Good morning.
Good morning.
And Merry Christmas to you all. So good to be with you, beloved. I don't know about you, but we had a wonderful remembrance this morning. And I don't think I'll ever forget that line that he that takes the sun, get it all, gets it all. Wow. That's what it's about, beloved. It's just about the Son. It's about the Son. And if we ever forget that, then we don't understand the meaning of Christmas. It is about the Son. The angel said to Mary, "That Holy One shall be called the Son of the Highest." We're going to read a very familiar portion this morning from Luke in chapter 2. The Gospel of Luke in chapter 2. Very familiar, but we're just going to get a few thoughts from there. We just begin to read at verse 25. "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, 'Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the nations and the glory of thy people Israel.' And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, 'Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign that shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed.'" Many things come to our minds as we think of the Christmas season. And especially when we think of the season in the light of the one who is the center of the message, the center of the Christmas story, the Lord Jesus Christ. And quite a few things are said of him here by Simeon. But I want us to look at that verse 32. It says, "He is a light to lighten the nations and the glory." The outshining, the effulgence of the people of Israel. Throughout the Bible, we read about the light. And God has promised down through the ages that one would come. And in certain prophecies, he tells us of the light. The light that will come. And we believe that this is the fulfillment of that light, the light that will come into the world, the light of salvation. A light to lighten the Gentiles. To bring those who are in darkness, to bring them into light. He is that light, and He is the fulfillment of God's promise. In Isaiah, for instance, in chapter 49, God has promised the light of salvation that would come. I just want to read verse 6 for you, beloved. It says, "And He said, it is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the nations, that thou mayest be my salvation," the light of salvation, "unto the end of the earth." This world is in darkness, and it was then when the Lord Jesus came. The world does not recognize this light. The world rejected this light when He came. Yet He came in fulfillment of God's word. We remember that God did not speak unto His people for some 400 years. And then we read in John's Gospel in chapter 1, suddenly after 400 years of silence, it says here, "Concerning Him, all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness overcame it not." Here's God's word. After 400 years of silence, "There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe." He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. The light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. The light that illuminates, the light of salvation. The Lord Jesus, during His ministry, He was seen and He has spoken concerning Him as the light. You remember on the occasion of the conversion of Saul of Tarsus, three places in God's word, we are told concerning his conversion that he saw a light from heaven. He talked about his experience also after that, after his conversion there in chapter 9. And he always mentioned that, "I saw a light and I heard a voice." The light that blinded him and the voice that called to him, the call of salvation, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" He said, "It is hard for thee to kick against the goads." Saul of Tarsus was blinded by the light of his presence. He came as a light to lighten not only the nations, but also Israel. The glory, the outshining to his people, Israel. And so Simeon was careful to acknowledge him not only as the source of salvation, or the one who would bring salvation, or as salvation personified, but he described him as the light, especially to the Gentiles, especially to the nations. He's also described as the true light. The true light. We go back to Isaiah again, because there is we have the prophecy of this light coming into the world. Not only do we have the humiliation of our Lord, but it tells us also of him as the light that will come. So in chapter 42, beginning in verse 5, it says, "Thus saith God the Lord, he who created the heavens and stretcheth them out, he who spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, he who giveth breath unto the people upon it, and spirit to them that walk in it. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the nations." Again, prophecy that Christ will be the light to the nations. And this light, I repeat, is the light of salvation. The people were in darkness, and they needed a light. And long before Christ came, it was prophesied that the people who were in darkness, the people who were ridiculed and who had suffered such death and darkness by the Assyrians, one day they will see the light. One day the light will come, according to Isaiah, again in chapter 9, and that was fulfilled in the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, when Simeon acknowledged him as the light to lighten the nations and the glory of his people Israel. In chapter 9, that great chapter concerning the birth of the Lord Jesus that we often read around this time of the year, it says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace." Also speaks of his second coming in the rest of that chapter. But beginning in chapter 9 of Isaiah, it says, "Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation. When at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, in Galilee of the nations." The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. And they that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Now, they went through a whole lot. They were devastated by the Assyrians. The Assyrians really brought death and darkness to that region. But the prophet had said that that region that was so devastated, that region that suffered so much death and darkness, that would be the place where the light would first shine. In other words, that's where the Lord Jesus would begin his public ministry in shedding the light of the gospel in that region. And that was fulfilled, as we read also in the Gospel of Matthew. Early in the Gospel of Matthew, that is in chapter 4. This is the literal fulfillment of that prophecy. The people that sat in darkness have seen a great light. Matthew chapter 4, beginning in verse 14, it says, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations, the people who sat in darkness saw great light. And to them who sat in the region and shadow of death, light. Light has sprung up. It reminds us of our Lord as he went to that region, just by there in Galilee of the nations. And he went to places like Capernaum, where was his headquarters, Zebulun, and all these places. It was there he began his ministry. It was there the light shone, and the people that sat in darkness saw a great light. You know, when we think of the season that we are in, and you hear the explanations that people give when it comes to Christmas, you wonder what is going on. I know what's going on. We have abandoned the Word of God. We have not gone to Bethlehem as the shepherds suggested. When the angels made the announcement to the shepherds and they were astonished, their response was, let us go even to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us in these days. We have refused to really visit Bethlehem in accordance to God's word and see what really happened. Here was this man who believed in God's salvation, who believed in the coming of the Messiah, and he was looking and waiting for him. And God had promised him that he would not see death until he had seen the Lord's Christ. What a thrill for him as he went to the temple. And he saw the literal fulfillment of God's word. He said, this is, among other things, he is the light to lighten the nations. The nations were in darkness and they needed light. It says those who sat in darkness saw a great light. Place where the Assyrians brought darkness and death would be the first to rejoice in the light brought by the preaching of Christ. You know, the Lord Jesus, he said during his earthly sojourn, he says, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The people who are in darkness, light is sprung up. Light is sprung up. Remember the blind man that was healed by the Lord Jesus, and we made I didn't do it, but I sing it. But a great song was written concerning that time, because this man was born. He was born blind. He never saw the light at all. And when the Jews tried to ridicule the Lord and to say how he is not a man of God, he says, you can say what you want, but I know that once I was blind, now I can see. And the song that we used to say, once I was blind, but now I can see, the light of the world is Jesus. Come to that light. It's shining for thee. It's shining. The light that lighteth every man. The light that is come. The light to the nations. That's what it's about, beloved. The Lord Jesus Christ is that light that was promised. You know, we read in John's Gospel in chapter 3. We read about love. We read about life. And we read about light. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And this is the condemnation, that light is come. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. It's no wonder then the world doesn't have any place for Christ. They didn't have a place for him when he was born. They don't have a place for him today. They have shut him up. No wonder the world is plunged into darkness, a darkness that can be felt. There's darkness all around us. There's religious darkness more than any other time. There are lots of other kinds of darkness in our world as well. Because light has come, and men love darkness rather than life. You can't sing joy to the world, the Lord is come. You can't sing it in a public square. You can't sing it in our schools. There's no place. They're talking about Christmas where you can't sing that the Lord is come. But you can sing Jingle Bell Rock. Darkness. Men love darkness rather than light. Here he comes. This is the light that would lighten the nations. The glory of his people Israel. Oh, what an experience, a sort of Tarsus on the Damascus Road. He said to Agrippa, after he told him of the light, he says, oh, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. I saw the light. Saw the light. That light was so bright, it blinded him. And afterwards, the Lord was pleased to open his eyes again. Light has come. You know, it says also in John 3 that men don't come to the light because it's going to expose them. Nobody likes to be exposed if you're in darkness. It says, everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. You ever listen to some conversations that people have, especially on TV? And there's no objection. People say, oh, God is this, and I know God. But you mention Jesus Christ, and they shut you down right away. Oh, that's religious. Because it's about him, you know. Salvation is about him. Because they can say, well, I believe in God, and their God is not necessarily the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. A lot of them says they believe in God, but God doesn't have a son. Well, the God that I know has a son. His name is Jesus Christ. And he came into the world to save sinners. That's the God that we know. He that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Come to the light, it's shining for thee. Sweetly, this light has dawned upon thee. Once I was blind, but now I can see. The light of the world is Jesus. This is what the apostle writing to the Ephesians speaks concerning the light that came. Ephesians in chapter 5, verse 13, it says, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. He is the light. In Hebrews in chapter 1, it says that he is the effulgence, the shining forth, the effulgence of God's glory, the brightness. Brightness of God's glory and the effulgence of the brightness of God's glory and the, I'll read it. I want to say it right, that's why. But I know you can quote it because I can too, but for some reason I can't do it now. It's, verse 3 says, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of God. The light of salvation. And Paul, the apostle, writes also in 2 Corinthians in chapter 4, it says, if our gospel be hidden, it is hidden to them that are lost, in whom the God of this age hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glory of God, the light of the gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. The light of the gospel, the light that Paul experienced, the light that you and I experience when we were brought from darkness into light and from the kingdom of Satan unto God. It says, God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shone in our hearts to give us the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. A light to lighten the nations, and the glory of thy people, Israel. Light has come, and you and I, we need to recognize that our responsibility as believers to walk in the light as he is in the light. For God is light. God is light. That's the same as it. Christ is light. He's the light of the world. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. The light came, and darkness was there, and the darkness could not overcome the light. Could not overcome the light. What a glorious message. So many who were plunged into darkness have seen the light. And today we walk in the light as he is in the light. And we have fellowship the one with the other. But also, the light will also be manifest in the kingdom of our God, the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. Not only was the light came during his first advent, but the light will be here as well during his millennial reign, coming at a time of darkness when the whole world will be plunged into darkness, coming right after the great tribulation. Again, we go back to Isaiah because that's where the prophecy is concerning the light. And this time it's the second advent. This time is the light, the kingdom. And what a difference he makes in the world, because the world is plunged into darkness, the same as it was, even more so when he came the first time. In chapter 60 of Isaiah, it says, "Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth." That's it. "The darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the peoples. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and the glory shall be seen upon thee. And the nations," here we go again, "the nations shall come to thy light, kings to the brightness of thy rising." We know the tribulation is great darkness, and we know that the whole world will be plunged into darkness. But we know that the gospel will be preached as well, the gospel of the kingdom. We know who the nations, the Gentiles, will be saved, and they will be will enter into that glorious kingdom, because the nations shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Light is come. The light shall dispel the darkness, and that shall come on the earth. One very last book of the Old Testament speaks of the hope of light coming. And I can quote the verse, but I want to read it because it's not one of those verses that we read every day. So it's in Malachi in chapter 4. The promise of the light, it says, "For behold, the day cometh that shall burn like an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble, and the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts. That it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And ye shall go forth and grow like calves of the stall. The Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings." Light is come, and light is coming. After the darkness comes the light. But you know, beloved, Christ is the light that came, the light of salvation that came, the light that lightens every man that cometh into the world, the light that shone around in darkness, even there in those places where the people sat in darkness. They saw that great light. They heard the words of the Lord Jesus, who himself is the light of the world. there in Capernaum, in Naphtali, in Zebulun, the place that will plunge into darkness by the Assyrians. They were the first to hear the light. But you know, beloved, we are going to a place of light. Did you know that? We're going to a place where there is no darkness at all. A place where you do not need the sun or the moon. Because the Lord is the light of it. You know what I'm talking about? Of course you do. The song that goes something like this. There is a land that is fairer than day. And by faith we can see it afar. Let's look at that place to which we go, beloved. The place is, it's a new paradise. It's heaven itself. Heaven itself. And that's the hope. We walk in the light here and we are going to a place of light. In Revelation 22 and verse 5 it says, "And there shall be no night there. And they need no lamp, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever." You know, you hear people talk about, well, I do too, the short days during this time of the year, the short days when the sun goes down early. Well, you don't have to worry about that. In the new land, in the new paradise, there is no night there. No lamp, neither light of the sun. For the Lord giveth them light. We also sing, don't we? Sing of the glorious place to which we are going. It's called Emmanuel's land. And it says that the Lord is all the glory in Emmanuel's land. Chapter 21 of Revelation. Chapter 21. What a place. 23. Well, 22 for connection. "And I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God did light it. And the Lamb is the lamp of it." The Lamb is all the glory in Emmanuel's land. What a place. And it's a place of light because of the presence of God. "He who only hath immortality dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto." That is a natural man. Without Christ, without the light of the world, without having been redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, without having met the Savior, the one who came to lighten the light, the Gentiles, you can't approach that light. It's unapproachable. But we can go in because he that chose the Son got it all. We got it all. You know, there's a song that says you could have had it all just like Bogie and Bacall. Well, didn't have anything. If they didn't have the sun, they didn't have anything. "For as whom the sun set free, that is free indeed." Lord, he says, I am ready to leave. I can now go in peace. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, a light to lighten the nations, and the glory of thy people Israel. What a light that shone in this world. You think of the wise men. And for they were following that light. They were following that star. And for some reason, they missed it and they lost the star. The star didn't no longer appear to them until after. And the star led them directly to the place where the young child was. That star came and it hovered over the place, that house, where the young child was. When they went in, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worship him. They presented unto him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. We thank God for the privilege of remembering his birth and remembering who he is, and we can worship also this Christmas season. But if you miss the sun, you miss the light altogether. Because there is no Christmas without the light. I'm not speaking of the light on the busy sidewalks and in the stores, but the light that illumines the heart, the spirit, the soul of man. The light that shines and gives us life. His life was the light of men. Good to be with you, beloved. I hope you have a wonderful and a blessed Christmas, you and your family. All the best. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for this day. We thank thee for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who came into this world that he might destroy the works of the devil. He came into this world that he might manifest God, who God is, and God is light. He came into the world to save sinners. We thank thee for enabling us to come from darkness into light and from the kingdom of Satan into the kingdom of thy dear Son. We pray that the light of Christ's birth, the light that Christ brought, the light of salvation will shine into many hearts this Christmas season. That God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness will shine into the hearts of men, giving them the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Thank you for the saints. Thank you for their love of the word and their love of thyself and the love of your people. Yes, thy blessing upon them. Bless the program for this evening, and bless the families, Lord, that would participate. And watch over us now as we part the one from the other and take us to our respective homes in peace and in safety, and guide us by thy counsel. Lord, lead us by thy Holy Spirit and glorify thyself in us. We pray and give thanks. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen.